Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Jesus, Jesus, how I love thee. Shout hallelujah, praise his holy name. Sing till the power of the Lord come down. Shout hallelujah.
Alone and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
To everything, there is a time. Now is my time, right? I was rushing to say Happy Easter to you all. Yes, I think this is one of the brightest Easter morning we've had for a long time, especially in Wisconsin. We had, this morning, we had our sunrise service, and I wore a short-sleeve shirt outside, and I thought it was a beautiful day. But I'd like to welcome each and all of you to today's worship service and pray God's blessing upon you and us all as we worship in true and in the spirit. For our announcements this morning, I'd like to lift unto you. We have announcements being carried both in your bulletins as inserts as well as on the screens. Please take note of those announcements. And those that require actions, we'll be glad if you'll be a part of those. And for those of you who might be worshiping with us for this Easter morning, we want to say thank you for being here. As a way of helping us to keep in touch with each other, this is what we do. We encourage people to please just fill out this half sheet and maybe put them in the offering plates as they go around. We take them seriously because it helps us keep in touch. We are not taking account of your attendance. That's not what we're doing here. We just want to make sure we are in contact with each other. We have, maybe some of you might not be aware, but I think we've been talking about it a little bit here, that I'm going to be out of this pulpit for a while on vacation and out of country. It's difficult to have two homes, two countries. Originally from Liberia, I have to always, and I have family in Liberia, I have to at least be with some of the family at some point during the year. So my wife and I will be leaving from here on Thursday. Again, I am not leaving this pulpit empty. There will be service will continue with or without me. You will always have pastors, volunteers. Some of the people we're trying to make them pastors here, they will be here. And I know Scott is going to be one of those. Reverend Jones is here. August is here. Of course, Ken. All of these people will be here to help lead services while I'm away. So I don't want anybody to say, well, the pastor is not here. Maybe there will be no service today. Service continue with or without the pastor. So please just, and again, let me let you know that we work as a circuit. Within the Wisconsin Annual Conference, we have circuits, and we are Circuit 13, made out of 3-4 United Methodist local congregations in town. So whenever one of the pastors is not around, the rest of the pastors will be willing to provide pastoral care. All you need to do, please call the church office. If there is a pastoral care emergency, other Creighton, who is here with Faith Bridge, with a bunch of other pastors with him, or Dr. Don, who is with North Point, they will all be willing to help. Josh, who is with Christ Church, they will all be willing to help. So you are covered. There's nothing to panic about, that the pastor is not here. Pastors are around always. We never fall short. So thank you for coming. With that, I want to, as usual, we are traditional people. We want to always make sure we do what we've always done. And one of the things we've always done that is not going to be happening this morning will be Easter egg hunt. I can remember if there were Easter, were the egg posted anywhere? I don't think so. So that would be a little bit disappointment. The reason is our Sunday school person is not well. She's been having health issues and she's still not well. So there's a lot of things that I kind of play here. How about we turn to the person next to you and just reassure them, Jesus loves you, so do I. We love to hear that. Amen. Amen. We always need to have that kind of assurance. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us. We need to know that. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for this worship service together. Would you please join me in the centering prayer? Eternal Spirit, Creator of all things, places, and peoples, we come together in the name of the Christ. In him you became one with us, that we might become one with one another. In true love and in our worship of you, we've come. May you be present with and among us. Amen. If you are able and feel comfortable, you may rise for the call to worship. It's entitled, Christ is Risen. Christ is the one through whom all things are made alive.
Christ's death and resurrection fulfills the promise that death will not be the final word.
For Christ rising is God's ultimate word for all.
Here's the declaration of our resurrection life.
Together, hidden with Christ in God, through Christ, we are already raised and will be revealed in Christ and reveal us. Amen. Would you remain standing as we sing the hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, the first four stanzas of that hymn 302. seated, please. Would you please join me in the invocation? We, like Mary Magdalene, have come this morning to the tomb in which the body of our Lord and Savior was laid and sealed. As we pondered whom rolled away the stone, the stone is miraculously rolled away. The burial linens are abandoned, but the body nowhere to be found. Like Mary and the first disciples, we stand outside the tomb amazed because neither know before what has happened to the body of our Lord. Master, our search is not for ignorance, but God's crucified Son and our Savior and friend. Gracious God, just as you revealed your Son to the first disciples, give us clarity of sight and mind to recognize him, loved him dearly, and faithfully to serve him whenever and wherever we might encounter him in our daily lives and services. Finally, we pray that you will confirm us into disciples that are always familiar to you, and known by name as your faithful servants. In the name of the Son, Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's have the children come forward this morning. Okay, good to see you. Happy Easter to you. Okay. All right, here's what we're going to be doing this morning. I'm sure today is what? Easter. And what is Easter? Do we know what Easter is? I guess we do. But we're going to find out right now, okay? You don't have to worry about whether you know it or not. Just wait and see. Could we just move over a little bit? Thank you. All right.
Early morning, on the third day after Jesus' death and burial, a few of the women decided to go visit the tomb. They planned to take care of the body. But when they came to the tomb, they were shocked to find that the stone was already removed from the door. Angels stood outside the tomb and told the women, "Jesus isn't here anymore. He has risen." Mary was standing there outside the tomb, wondering what had happened. She was confused and thought that somebody had taken Jesus' body. She did not understand what the angel was saying. Then she heard a voice behind her say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary didn't recognize the voice through her sobbing, but thought it must be the gardener who worked near the tomb. "Please, sir, if you've taken his body, please tell me where you put it." "Mary," the voice came again. Now, Mary recognized the voice. "Teacher," she said as her heart flared up with gladness. It was Jesus. He was really alive. "Go and tell my brothers," Jesus said. Mary turned and ran as fast as she could. It was true. Jesus was alive. She had just seen him with her own eyes. She was so excited and could not wait to tell the disciples and all the people that Jesus was truly risen. Back at the home where the disciples were gathered, Mary rushed into the room. "I've seen him. He's alive. Jesus is alive." The disciples were so surprised they could hardly speak, but they too ran to see the risen Lord. One disciple wasn't so sure. Thomas couldn't believe that such a thing could actually happen. He loved the Lord so much, but did he really rise from the dead? Surely it couldn't be. "Unless I see his hands, place my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand on his side, I will never believe," Thomas said. One day, Jesus appeared to his disciples as they were sitting in their upper room. He didn't use the door. He simply walked through the wall. The disciples could not believe their eyes. It was really Jesus. He was alive. He was standing there in person, in their midst. Jesus even ate with them, so they could truly see that he was a real person and not a ghost. Then, holding out his hand, Jesus spoke. "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. And put your hand and place it in my side. Do not doubt. It's me. Believe." He turned to Jesus, embracing him with great love and affection. Jesus was truly alive. Jesus appeared to many other people, and soon word spread of his resurrection. As people retold the account, many more became believers. Everyone marveled at the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came in human form to bring redemption and salvation to anyone who would believe. Jesus was the only sacrifice that could appease God's anger towards sin. He was the only way to enter eternity with God in heaven. To this day, we proclaim this wonderful message to all who are willing to hear.
Amen. All right, I see fresh hand here. Okay.
Mary, Jesus told Mary to tell his brothers that he was alive, and then they said he wasn't true. It wasn't true.
Yeah. Okay. You got it right, Neka. Jesus is risen. That's what Easter is about. Jesus is alive. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. He died, was buried. 3 days later, he's risen. That's why we have Easter. That's what Easter is about. Easter is about celebrating Jesus' life. And do we know who Jesus is? Who is he?
God.
He's God. Is that the same answer you have? Okay. So today we celebrate Easter. Everybody is happy, and we are happy to also have you. Okay? Just have a word of prayer. Thank you, dear God, for these children. Thank you for our time together with them. You have the ultimate job to do in terms of working in their hearts and minds, that they will come to know you even better. We thank you for our time. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to mold them into the women and men of your following. In Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you for coming.
placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father, did you?" They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He hung his head and prepared to die. Then lifted his face up to the sky, said, "I am coming home now, Father, to you." A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. A soldier who had used his sword to pierce the body of our Lord said, "Truly this is Jesus Christ, our Savior." He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord, fell to his knees crying, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. From his head that thorny crown, and wrapped him in a linen gown, and laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet and side are in our hearts. We know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Went by, and again they came to move the stone, to bless the slain with oil and spice, anointing, hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone. They saw that they were not alone, but Jesus Christ has risen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
So listen this morning, come from Acts 10, begin with verse 34 through 43. Peter is defending his reason why he has to take the gospel that actually belonged only to the Jews, to the Gentiles. And so he begins to speak. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God treats everyone the same, he said. He accepts people from every nation. He accepts anyone who has respect for him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the world of Israel. The people of Israel. It is good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what has happened all through the area of Judea. It started in Galilee after John preached about baptism. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus went around doing good. He healed all who were under the devil's power. God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by nailing him to a cross. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. God allowed Jesus to be seen. But he wasn't seen by all the people. He was seen only by us. We are witnesses whom God had already chosen. We ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people. He told us to tell people that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. All the prophets tell about him. They say that all who believe in him have their sins forgiven through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen, 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 amen. Wow. Amen, amen. Thank God for wonderful choir, praise team. Thank God that we can gather and celebrate a wonderful day with strength, with our voices, with our presence. Thank God that we can be together as this church, the people that I call by God. I'd like to invite you to the gospel reading this morning. I've chosen the part of that gospel. That gospel is more than what you see, especially that particular passage. If you were to put the entire chapter, not actually the chapter, but the verse from 1 through 18, it will give you a fuller picture of what is happening here. But the reason why I just chose from 10 to 18 is because it has to do with the text, I mean, or the topic, the theme of the message this morning. So I'm going to read for you just to put it into context. You may not see the first 8 verses on that screen. Let me put this into context for you. So I'm going to read from 1 through 18 for you this morning. It says here from my copy, the master copy here. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. It was still dark. She saw that the stone had been moved from the entrance. So she ran to Simon Peter and another disciple, the one Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started out from the tomb, for the tomb. Both of them were running. The other disciple ran faster than Peter. He reached the tomb fast. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind from behind. He went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there too. He also saw the funeral cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place. It was separate from the linen. The disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent over to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white. They were seated where Jesus' body had been. One of them was where Jesus' head had been laid. The other sat where his feet had been placed. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken away my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said, "Sir, did you carry him away? Tell me where you put him. Then I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him. Then she cried out in Aramaic language, "Rabboni, Rabboni," means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to those who believe in me. Tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. And may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We live in the world where we know that the talk about God, especially the talk about Christ, has become so offensive. You don't say it in the public. You have to keep it to yourself. Don't talk about him. Because probably the name is offensive, so you don't want to say it. Anything that is not good, you don't say it in the public. And because of that, we are raising a lot of kids and probably younger, older, little bit older, who might come up, who might grow up, not even knowing who Jesus is. If the church does not take a stand to say, yes, this name called Jesus is not offensive as you think. It's in fact the name that God has said at this name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Is that not true? Is that not what we believe? So what's offensive about that? Jesus is alive. We can talk about Jesus being alive a million times, maybe. But there's one thing to say someone is alive is totally another thing to be able to know who this person is. Is that true? Because I don't believe this person is alive doesn't mean that this person does not exist. Because I believe that this person is alive doesn't necessarily mean that I know this person. I think those are two true statements, right? I can refuse to accept the existence of someone, like most people do with the existence of Jesus. That doesn't in any way diminish his existence. He's alive. But because I also believe that he's alive does not necessarily mean that I know him. Because there are many ways that we can come to know Jesus and who he is. For most of us who were born, maybe in Christian homes, we heard about Jesus. Maybe grandmom took us to church. Or mom and dad took us to church. And so we heard about Jesus. Or maybe we follow a friend. Or like my own situation, my parents were not Christians. They knew God. We're not Christians. But I came to hear about Jesus maybe through the mistakes that they made. One of the mistakes that they made was to send me to a Christian school. And so I encountered Christ through that school. Because somebody told me about Jesus. It was not my parents. It was not my grandparents. None of them had. But thank God that after I became a Christian, my dad kind of followed me and he went to church. So he got to know Christ before his dad. Or at least hear about Christ as far as I know. So there are many ways that probably we've heard about Christ and probably come to know Christ and probably come to be called the disciples of Christ or probably become a member of a church. But my question this morning is today, even right now, if Christ were to appear to you, will you recognize him? Somebody want to give it a shot to tell us how? How would you recognize Christ if he were to appear to you? Yes. You see him in the face of the children. Okay? Anyone else? Sorry? His good deeds, okay. By his good deeds. Oh, thank you. Thanks for sharing those. Yeah. Okay. 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 Oh, thank you. So we have three different answers here, but they all say the same thing. We see Christ in the faces. We recognize Christ in the faces of the children, and we also recognize Christ by his good deeds, and then we also recognize Christ from our heart. By the time we see him. But I want to go back to how Mary and the disciples recognized Christ. And then I will tell you a little story about how a church got to recognize Christ. You know that, I don't know if you remember who this Mary is. Scripture helps me to understand that this Mary was the same Mary that we experience on the, was that Monday, Thursday night? Was that the night? Yeah, it was the night that this Mary anointed Jesus and then wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, and of course, the good guy who is there, who so much care about the, you know, and he said, oh man, why are you wasting the perfume on this guy's feet? You're supposed to be saving that perfume so that we give it to the poor, sell it and give the money to the poor, but in fact, the poor was himself. So this is the Mary that is still with, she's sticking with Jesus. She's sticking with Jesus no matter what. No matter what, she's still sticking with Jesus, because what I am told by Scripture is that when it became really tough going through that, those 40 days, especially coming to the last week, what was happening is you could not even hear about the disciples anywhere except for Peter, who was creeping and trying to make sure, even though he's made the commitment to Jesus and said to him that, you know, no matter what happened, wherever they carry you, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to be there with you. Peter is now hiding and looking to see what was happening to this Lord, but Mary cannot stick with Jesus. And she says, she didn't make that bold pronouncement. She didn't blow a trumpet to say, no matter where they carry you, I'm going to follow you. It was in her heart that she knew that someone was so important to her, the person called Jesus. And so Mary, with the disciples now, I know I would do the same thing probably if my life was in danger, because I love my life and I am not God to die for someone, and the man that I follow, who is the Savior, the Messiah, if he's been treated the way he was being treated, I would just go into what? My little closet. I'm just going to crash and say, whoa, are we going back to Egypt? So that even my Lord, this guy who said he was the Lord, look at how they treated him. And he's dead. He's buried. So where is the hope? Where is the hope? Where is the Lord? But Mary took the courage. Are you following Mary here? Mary followed Jesus and is now at the tomb and trying to find out. In fact, I wouldn't doubt anything about Mary. That she knew, she took Jesus for his word when he said, on the third day, I'm going to rise. And so she's there. We need to make sure that this comes to pass in her very presence. And so she's at the tomb. If somebody were to ask, how do you know Jesus is alive? Say, go and check the tomb. The tomb that he was buried in. Was he still there? No. What happened to him? Well, the soldiers that were guarding didn't even know. So you ask the soldiers, and the soldiers are not even responding with any expected answer from the leaders. The expected answer was the disciples came overnight and stole his body. But they're not even giving that. And that would put them into jeopardy too. They wouldn't say that, because what would have happened was, why were you sitting there and you didn't do anything? Will you recognize Jesus? Mary is still concerned. She looks, oh my God, this stone is heavy. Who's going to take it away? Miraculously, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. That's one proof that Jesus is alive. If nobody took it away, he's alive. Mary is still weeping with the other women, and they are saying, oh my God, what has happened? Oh my God, what's going on here? And she hears someone from behind. Woman, why are you crying? I'm setting the stage for you here to know that you have proof that you can tell anyone who asks you, how do you know Jesus is alive? And so that, Father, you might not have known that, but you can also be sure that you are following a God who is still alive. And if anyone were to ask you, how do you know? Or because the empty tomb is there, there are witnesses. Mary gave the first testimony. She experienced the resurrection, and then she went and told the disciples, and some of the disciples were not even sure. And Jesus comes and stands in their midst and says to them, look at my hands. I am not a ghost. Jesus is alive. This is the celebration we have here today. That's how Jesus presented himself to the first disciples. Think about the two guys that were on the road to Emmaus. They walked with him. You see, church, this is what is happening to most Christians today. They walk with Jesus and they think they are walking alone. Or they are walking with a stranger. Until you can have that connection that God is able, that conviction that indeed God is able to help you with that divine insight, that divine understanding, that divine wisdom of knowing the difference, it would be difficult for you to even recognize Jesus, even if he were to walk with you on that road. Whatever your journey might be in life, it would be very difficult without the conviction that God is able to reveal to you what that is all about. It would be difficult for you to recognize Jesus, even if he were to walk with you hand in hand, talking with you, having conversation with you. It would be very difficult for you to know that. It's not that you are not been coming to church. It's not that you are not been faithful in paying your tithes and maybe your offering and doing all of the services, but you have to have that conviction in order to recognize that you are not alone on that journey. These are other people experiencing I'm talking about. Let me now give you the story about a church right here, not in this building, but right in this country. What happened? Easter morning has come. The church is so, this is one of the mega churches. It may not be that huge, but it's a well-populated church with over maybe a 1,000 members. And this guest preacher is invited to this church. And he comes early in the morning around, the church service starts about 9:30. So by 6:30, the guest preacher is at the church. He dresses in the worst attire you can ever think about for a preacher to put on. Because I know there are some of our brothers and sisters who are homeless, but they are very sharp. But this preacher put on something that he wasn't really recognizable at all. And he comes and sits before the church entrance. And all of the wonderful Christians that were coming to that church, all of the Jesus people that were coming to that church, this man had his little bag, homeless bag, sitting right beside him, and he's sitting there leaning on the wall like this. And everybody come and pass by, not anyone saying to him, who is this person? When it was about 5 minutes to the service time, this guy gets up and just walk in the back of the church and began to walk to the pulpit. And every eye is on him because he looks so shabby, dirty. And this church, it happened in most mega churches. They have bodyguards that I posted in different areas, you know, to protect the people. And this guy he's walking like this and going like this toward the pulpit, and one of the guys, the security, is coming. You can't go up there. What are you doing? And this guy was so, he was determined to go to the pulpit. And so he walked and he made his way. The other three guys came. You got Facebook. Go on the Facebook, you will see it. And this guy comes and he gets on the stage. They try to pull him down. He started to pull himself up. They started to pull him down. Finally, he tried by all means. He got to the pastor's chair. He grabs the mic and said, "Good morning, church." And every eye just light up. Oh! I like when we see Jesus in the eyes of people. That was the message for that day. Because if you were to read Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, that there's, I think it's Matthew chapter 25, I guess it's that whole chapter, where you have the white throne judgment. Some of them, that's how most people would call it, white throne judgment. Jesus says, "When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink." And then he goes the opposite direction. "You saw me. When I was hungry, you did not give me anything to eat. You saw me. When I was in prison, you did not visit me." The point here is, I don't think God wants to just populate heaven. That's not my belief. I don't think God just wants to have plenty of people like we want to have. Like some of us, I as a pastor, I like these pews to be filled with people. I don't think it's God's intention for heaven. Because had it been so, you know what? God has that automatic button that he could press anyhow to just make them to go to heaven. Or you have the way to say, "Look, go to heaven. Heaven is open for you and everybody will go there." But what God is actually after is for us, for whom he sent his son into the world to demonstrate his love for us, so that even though he did not sin, but because of God's love for us, he gave his life for us, he died on the cross, and we say, "Oh my God, what kind of bad thing happened to this man?" But you know what? There can be no Easter without a Good Friday. That's God's love. And so Jesus says, before his death, "I have done this for you. You go and do it for one another." So that when people see what you do, when people see how you live with each other, when people see how you relate with each other, Easter will begin to rebirth. That's how we recognize Jesus. We can have all the philosophical justification or explanation about Jesus' existence, but if that is not been translated in our daily life with each other, you know what? We are not making disciples of Jesus Christ. Easter would mean nothing to anyone who is hungry. Easter would mean nothing to someone who is sick. Easter would mean nothing to someone who cannot afford the first meal of the day. The church would be very irrelevant. The name of Jesus would mean nothing to them. And so Jesus says, Once we have done for all of these people, we recognize these people, and we see Christ in their lives, we've done it for him. It's not enough